Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Medical Monday, June 15th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital Medical Group, a dedicated team of physicians, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants providing quality health care to the greater Saratoga community. SaratogaHospital.org. Joining us this afternoon to answer your podiatric questions, Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman is a popular guest. We always get plenty of calls, so call early, 800-348-2551. If you have a foot issue to discuss, 800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Tooman and your foot calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. On the line to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine, a board certified in foot surgery, a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeon, also an avid marathon runner. So if you're a runner and you got an ache or a pain, this guy probably knows about it. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman, how are you, sir? Welcome back.
Ray, thanks for having me, and it's great to be back. Hopefully you and your family are safe and well.
We're all doing pretty well. How about you?
We're all doing well.
That's
down
good.
Here as well.
That's
thank you. Good.
Now, have you done any running, keeping 6 feet away
every
from
day?
Really? Every single
yes,
day?
Yes, why take a day off, right?
I don't know. It's got to be murder on your knees, though, right?
Well, for some people, yes. And others, you can enjoy running and not have any aches and pains. But, yeah, a lot of people I know, I've been running for many years. I'm 63 now, so I've been running since my early 20s. And a lot of my friends don't run anymore.
Yeah.
They do have knee pain, so you're absolutely right. It can happen. I'm fortunate.
All right, we're going to get to the email here in a moment and then the phones. And let me ask you one question. Asking for one of my daughters, or a couple of my daughters, they can be hypochondriacs. And one has complained from time to time, I think I broke my toe. And I say, no, you didn't break your toe. How does one tell from the outside if a toe is broken?
Well, Dr. Ray, it's
yes.
not easy. So I actually have a chapter in my book, which is called Ask the Foot Doctor. And the chapter is Broken Toes, Let's Set Them Straight.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. The little toe is the most fractured or broken bone in the body. By the way, a break and a fracture are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most common break that anybody gets anywhere. That's just the number one break. And you know what? Most toe breaks or most toe fractures, you can't tell unless it's hanging off to the side or, you know, just looks like it's, you know, malaligned or, you know, just needs to be put back in place.
Yeah.
But that's why, Ray, we advise people if you're having pain, if it's swollen, take an x-ray. And here's the deal with that. If you have a broken toe, 9 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, it'll heal just fine on its own.
Right.
But that one or two times it doesn't keeps us very busy.
No.
Because somebody comes in and the toe is bent out of shape. The toe is a little bit drifted off, or it's fractured and it fractured into the knuckle of the joint,
yeah,
as opposed to just a little break, and they end up with a swollen, stiff toe. And that becomes a chronically painful area that we have to treat. A lot of hammer toes are caused by broken toes that didn't get fixed. So
okay,
they're probably, like you said, a hypochondriac, but if they look a little awkward, they're swollen, they're painful, sometimes it's a good idea to get them looked at.
Okay, but swollen is the key. Now, I have seen no swelling, no black and blue, nothing. I think this is another case of, oh, okay, I'm a hypochondriac, I'm going to make you miserable, right?
It could be. I can't tell for sure. I think your daughters are lovely.
And, I hope they're not listening. This email came in from Elise. Elise writes, I have extensor tendonitis in my left foot that involves pain on the top of my foot near my middle toes. I've been doing recommended stretching exercises along with strength exercises for both foot and calf. I've rested it, elevated it, iced it, used heat along with taking ibuprofen. Nothing is helping, and it's been 3 weeks now. X-rays came back negative for bone issues. I completed a round of antibiotics in case it was an infection. What can I do next? And that's from Elise.
Wow, that's a lot of question there, Ray.
Yeah.
So, Elise, certainly if you've had something for 3 weeks and it's not getting better, like you're not showing signs of improvement, then you need to get looked at again, because certainly X-rays only tell if a bone is injured.
Yeah.
It won't show tendon, it won't show ligaments, it won't show other injuries. So there are lots of injuries that may heal on their own, and there are others that if you have a significantly damaged tendon, that might need some treatment to get it made to feel better. It's really hard to tell you, Elise, where the pain is. And obviously something strange is going on, because not only did they say you had a tendon injury or something along those lines, but they also put you on an antibiotic, which is not usually used for tendon injuries. So somebody was fearful of an infection as well. So it's a little bit confusing as to a tendon and an infection. So I would say you need another opinion if you're not getting better, Elise.
Tough to diagnose that over the phone, I would say.
It is. A lot of stuff going in different directions, right?
All right, one more email, and then we'll jump on the phones. This one came from Kathy in Vernon, Vermont. Kathy writes, about a month ago, I noticed a lump on my left foot next to the tendon and near the big toe joint. It's somewhat soft, does not hurt. I can sort of move it around a little under the skin. It measures 2 centimeters long by 1.6 centimeters wide. I'm 73, have never had any foot problems. I think my shoes fit fine. What could this be? And that's from Kathy in Vernon, Vermont.
Great. Just as an aside, interesting that we always use inches, but when we talk medical, we use centimeters. Why is that? I don't know.
Well, Kathy's from Vermont. I think they're more progressive up there, you know?
So, Kathy, it sounds to me like you have a ganglionic cyst. A ganglion, that's G-A-N-G-L-I-O-N, is a soft tissue, fluid-filled little cyst or a pocket. Picture a little balloon that you start to fill with a little bit of water, and it gets a little bigger. Well, right over the tendon by the big toe joint is a very common place to get these ganglions. And there's a teeny little leak of joint fluid. It's actually not water. It's actually a viscous gelatinous fluid, and it fills up. Usually non-painful unless it's pressing on a structure, and usually you can freely move them. So if it's not bothering you and you're not concerned about it, you can live with a ganglion. If somebody came into my office, we have a one-minute procedure where we just add a little bit of like a Novocaine and we just puncture it and drain the fluid out and it goes away. And that's the drainage of a ganglionic cyst. They do have a recurrence rate, maybe 1 in 5 come back, but those usually stay away pretty good by the big toe joint. So, Kathy, it sounds like you have a ganglion. Good question.
All right, fair enough. Let's do one phone call before we take our break, and then we will hit the phones in earnest. Let's start out with Pat in Ballston Lake. Pat, you're up.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
It seems that my toenails are very, very thick on my big toe and the second toe over, on both feet. Like, I can't even use a regular toenail clipper to cut them. There's not a fungus or anything like that. They're just really, really thick. And I'm wondering, is there anything I can do, or what should I do about this?
Well, thanks for the question, Pat. I have a quick question for you. When you say they're not fungus, how do you know?
Well,
are they discolored? Are they yellow? Are they brittle?
No, they don't. They don't seem to be.
Okay, good. And what is your age, Pat?
I'm 57. I do walk a lot, and I used to run a lot. So I'm wondering if maybe that was a cause of it.
Yeah, there's two major causes of many causes, but two major causes of toenails that change. And one is injury, trauma, or microtrauma. And they're very different. Microtrauma is just the fact that you are wearing shoes every day and walking, and maybe shoes can be a little snug sometimes, or you walk downhill. You can drop a chicken out of the freezer on your toe. That's trauma. You can have somebody step on it. And life is long, over 57 years. The other major cause is a fungus that gets into the nail, and that can make it get thick as well. I guess the third major cause is life. And as we age, things change, like our eyes, our teeth, and our hair. Our toenails also change, and they can become thicker as well. If I were to see you, or any podiatrist were to see you in their office, Pat, what they would probably do is they clip a little nail off, send it off to ensure that this is not caused by a fungus. So we have a little, you know, just a lab thing. It takes a week, 10 days to get back, and we just make sure that it's just a thick toenail. If it's just thick, then the recommendation is that they get filed or cut down as low as you can and keep them as low as you can so that they are not in the way of your shoes. And then there are different kinds of clippers you can get at, you know, good medical device stores that instead of the little ones you can't get over them, that might be a little more beneficial to you. Can the nail be changed, the other question, Pat, from a thick nail to a normal nail again? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends upon if there's actual fungus in there or if there's any thinning of the nail where it grows from the base, from the root. Maybe it can grow a thinner nail. It's hard to say without seeing it. Does that make sense, Pat?
Yes, it does. So it sounds to me like I need to have my toenails checked. That would be the first thing to do.
I would do that just to ensure you don't have a fungus and then make sure it doesn't spread, because we do see lots of seniors. They start off with one or two thick nails and ends up with 10 toenails. And if we might have seen them sooner and treated it, we might not have had 10 fungal toenails later in life. So, yeah, get it looked at.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. Our thick nails aren't that bad, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Podiatry today. We'll be back. Vox Pop, Medical Monday. Ray Graff here, joined today by Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Tooman, what is the big deal if your toenails get thick? Who cares, right?
Well, you're obviously not a woman, number one, Ray.
I think that's
true. Number two, they can be uncomfortable. You got thick toenails and you put them in shoes and it can push down on the nails. It can get uncomfortable. You can get ingrowing toenails when they get thick. There's a lot of different things that happen. And you know what? Nobody wants to have fungus toenails. You know, there's no fun in fungus.
What about What about fungus would possibly make toenails thick? I'm missing the point.
Well, a fungus actually does make the toenail thick. The fungus lives, there's different kinds of fungus, but it lives on the nail. That's its food. And it proliferates and it just becomes, if you've ever seen anybody's really thick toenails, it just becomes brittle and crumbly, and that's all part of the fungus that develops.
Yeah.
So it takes away the normal nail and replaces it with brittle, crumbly, diseased kind of fungus nail. Now, the good news is, right, just like in Vegas, what stays in Vegas
stays in Vegas.
What goes on in the nail stays in the nail. So it's not dangerous to your body. And if somebody wants to live with a thick toenail, you can.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to harm you unless it becomes painful or ingrown. However, most people really find them unsightly cosmetically, and then they become painful as well.
Well, I like them. This email came in from Alex in Saratoga. Alex writes, "Every summer my left foot appears to have what looks like athlete's foot, but not the right. It might be mild all year long, but definitely gets worse in the summer. It usually doesn't bother me, except my toenail on my fourth toe recently fell off." And that's from Alex in Saratoga.
Well, Alex, so it sounds like you're getting fungus on one foot. Is that what she said, Ray? On the left foot?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. I was drifting away there. Sorry, doctor. When you talk, I take a nap. Let's see. Fourth toe recently. No, not the fourth toe. The toenail on the fourth toe recently fell off and doesn't say. It says left foot appears to have athlete's foot. The right is fine.
Fungus, yeah. So, Alex, it happens in warm weather, and it's really weird, Alex, because I do see a lot of patients that for whatever reason do get athlete's foot fungus in only one foot. So it's weird. Most people get it in both feet, but it's not that uncommon to just have it on one foot. And in the summertime, of course, the heat, the moisture, the sweating, you know, all of that, you know, contributes to the development of athlete's foot fungus. By the way, it is a similar type fungus that gets into the nails, a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's treatable on the skin as opposed to the nails. So you can get over-the-counter antifungal medicine, which you probably should use through the warm weather, Alex. You can get any of the 1% tall naphthates or other things, Lotrimin, or there's plenty of them over-the-counter. And if it doesn't work to keep it away, then there are prescription-strength antifungal creams to put on the bottom of your foot to make sure it stays away. It's not a hygiene thing, and it's kind of weird. As far as your toenail, I'm just guessing, Alex, you're young. We don't know for sure, but I'm guessing you're young, and it'll probably grow back, and something might have happened to traumatize the nail and loosen it from the nail bed. So hopefully it grows back normally again.
Okay, fair enough. Doug Tooman is our guest, Dr. Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The number is 800-348-2551. We have a full bank of calls, so let's go to Jim in Matamoros. Jim.
What factors are involved in the formation of a hangnail?
Oh, thanks, Jim, from Matamoros. So a hangnail, basically there's different terminology. The lay terminology, if it's on a toe, would be that it's an ingrowing toenail that is, you know, a little bit separated from the main body of the toenail. So that's why it's hanging. Now, hangnails can come from trauma, irritation, shoes, injury, things like that. And if it's not painful, it certainly can just be trimmed back. However, if you have an ingrowing toenail that becomes painful, reddened, discharged with a little bit of, you know, blood or other discharge from it, that's getting an infected ingrowing toenail. And that does need to be looked at by a podiatrist so that the ingrowing toenail is removed and the hangnail or whatever is embedded in there does not remain, because those infections can get pretty nasty if left untreated. And treating an ingrowing toenail is really easy nowadays. As a matter of fact, Jim and Ray, one of the more things that patients come in and say, like, in general, the best thing I ever did for them was when I took out their ingrowing toenail that bothered them for the last 20 years, and it doesn't hurt them anymore, because they become bathroom surgeons where they pull it out each month. And what we do in the office is just do a one and done. So just a teeny bit of Novocaine in the toe, and you get the ingrown nail out. But then you go back to the root, like a hair has a follicle. Just cauterize that little root, and that prevents that part of the nail from growing in again. The nail's narrowed by a few millimeters, and basically it's done.
Yeah, it's amazing how easily that is done and how well it works. I had one years ago. And you don't miss the little strip of nail that's gone. It's just, you know, it's fine.
You're right. It looks pretty normal once it grows again. So it's really not abnormal cosmetically or other. So good stuff.
Back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. David in Monticello. David.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the call. I have a problem with both feet. Very tender and sore on both feet. And on the left foot, on the skin, on the top, sometimes there's a burning sensation.
Okay. So, David, how old are you, may I ask?
I like to be 19, but at present time, 75.
75. Do you have any issues with circulation or diabetes?
No, not that I know of, but I am overweight.
Okay. And when you walk, can you walk as far as you want without stopping?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay. And do you have any back problems?
No.
No, okay. So, again, David, you're one of these phone calls when somebody has, you know, pain in both feet, and we don't get to look at them, you know, and feel the circulation and test the nerve endings. it's hard to generalize. Could it be arthritis in your feet from carrying some extra weight and years of working on your feet? It could be. Could it be some nerve irritations that are making the skin burn a little bit? It could be. Could it be circulation factors? It could be. So bottom line is, David, if you're having sensitivity on the skin and pain in both feet, I would go see a podiatrist to just make sure that your feet remain healthy, that you're not putting yourself in danger, that you have good circulation, you don't have any pinched nerves extending in there, and you don't have any bad arthritis that can be helped. So, again, it could be flat feet. It could be so many things, David. Get yourself looked at if you don't mind.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest on this Medical Monday. It's Podiatry Today. And have you been seeing patients right through the lockdown?
Yes, we have. We have been essential because, Ray, in our practice, like every podiatrist practice, we see a lot of diabetics. We treat wounds and infections. Unfortunately, I have to do surgery. We treat fractures and sprains. And that helped keep people out of the emergency rooms.
Yeah.
So we never closed. And, of course, it got slow for a bit, but we were able to provide services right on through. And now it's getting busy again.
It sure is. And you can tell by the traffic and everything else, things are moving back toward some sense of normalcy. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Peter in Pauling. Peter, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Ray. Hi, Dr. Tooman. Dr. Tooman, I got two issues. One is a long-standing one, and the other one's relatively new. I'm your age. No conditions to speak of, no diabetes. And in both of my feet, for the last half a year or so, from time to time, I noticed something coming on, which now I know ends up being both of my feet becoming very itchy. These episodes only last about 15 minutes. I did see my doctor, my regular doctor, about this, and he had a look at my feet, and he said he wasn't sure what was going on. He said if I wanted to see, you know, another doctor, he'd set that up. The odd thing about this is it's throughout my feet. It escalates. I go crazy, and then it goes away. The other piece of information is from time to time I do get the same thing in my hands. More often it's in my feet. The other issue, I don't know if it's related, has to do with only one foot, and it's the toe next to the pinky toe. And from time to time, this is a new thing within the last 2 months, I have a feeling like there's something caught underneath my toe. I always feel it. It always surprises me. I always look and I say, oh yeah, this is the same thing. It always happens. There's nothing there. It's almost like I would expect to see some sock lint or something like that jammed underneath that.
Sure.
So those are my two questions.
Okay. So Peter and Pauling, there's no Mary there, right?
Peter, Pauling, right. Mary. Very funny. Hey, right,
I know that one. Yep. We're that age.
So, Peter, just a couple of things. Let's start with the first one, the itching. Obviously, it's unusual to get 15 minutes of itching. It escalates and goes away on its own without you doing anything. And plus, you have this in your hands as well. I don't know what's going on, but there could be something with a nerve somewhere that's causing this. May want to have that looked at because it doesn't sound like the classic athlete's foot or other things along those lines. So, again, it sounds something neuritic to me. But, again, without evaluating you, there is something in the foot called tarsal tunnel. Could become a pinched nerve like carpal tunnel. It could become from your back. It could be other anxiety or other nerve-related issues. Hard to know for sure. But that's one thing. On the other problem with the left fourth toe, it sounds like you have something called a Morton's neuroma. So that's Morton's like the salt, and neuroma, N-E-U-R-O-M-A. And Morton's neuroma is a pinched nerve in the ball of the foot. Usually it is under the fourth toe, between the third and fourth toes, and it can feel like a sock is bunched up in your shoe. Sometimes you got to readjust something. Sometimes there can be discomfort that radiates into the toes or different types of pain. But that's what that sounds like, and there's nothing to see clinically. Everything looks kind of normal, but if the podiatrists were to evaluate you, they would kind of press around there, and they might feel this thing or actually even make it hurt, and that would help to diagnose this Morton's neuroma. It's not dangerous, but it can become a real nuisance. Neuromas are treatable, and they are treatable with different types of remedies. That could be inserts. It could be some injections to shrink the inflamed nerve. Really bad cases, which doesn't sound like that's not what you have. We do something called a neurectomy. We take the really painful piece of a nerve out so that the pain goes away. There's topical rubs you can put on it. You can massage it. You can change shoes. But Morton's neuroma on your left foot. The other thing, you may want to see a neurologist. You may want to see a podiatrist. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to helpfully diagnose that condition, but you might as well try to get it looked at by somebody.
Mm-hmm. Would that Morton's neuroma also manifest itself as a feeling of like a plantar fasciitis, except a little bit more towards the ball of the foot? Because I have that on that. I've had that on that same foot.
It wouldn't be up by the toes. It usually would not be plantar fasciitis in that area. And the neuroma and the plantar fasciitis are probably not related, probably two separate things.
Okay.
All right, Peter, thanks a lot for the call. Morton's neuroma. Yes, friends, ask for it by name. Let's go to Chad in Glens Falls. Chad.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Chad.
I have a dropped foot, and I've been wrestling with it for a number of years and seeing various doctors and stuff. And the latest doctor I've seen is suggesting, he's a foot surgeon, he's suggesting a tendon transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've never heard of this until just now. I mean, I've had this for over 10 years, and it's kind of been put off by the coronavirus, you know, elective surgery cessation and stuff like that. So I was just curious if you've had any experience with people having this surgery and what you think of the success rate.
Well, that's a big question, Chad. And let me just ask you a couple of questions. What caused your foot drop?
You know, it happened when I had a back problem, and I thought my back problem was fine. And all of a sudden, I get on my bike, and I get this shooting pain down my foot. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, the back problem's been resolved. But just, you know, I've had this numbness in my big toe, and my drop foot's been getting worse over the years. I had an EMG done about 9 months ago, and that showed nerve deterioration.
Mm-hmm. Can you move your ankle up and down? Does it get to? Can you move the foot up to where it almost is up your other foot, or it does not move at all upwards?
I can't move it. I can't move it at all.
You can't move it at all. Okay.
At all.
Okay, so it's a full drop foot. Okay, and what about the drop foot brace? Has that been successful for you?
A brace, did you say?
Yeah, have you worn a drop foot brace over the years?
Yes, I've had a brace. It's very uncomfortable. And, you know, I wear it for a couple of hours if I'm, like, doing something that, you know, I need to be on my feet and doing things, lifting things. And, you know, it works, but it's very uncomfortable.
Right. So, you know, there's new drop foot braces out nowadays that are a little bit more comfortable, less bulky and cumbersome, because some of them can be. But most of the drop foot patients usually are successful with a good brace. As far as the surgery, I really can't guide you on that, and I feel awkward telling you that, just because, you know, if you have a true drop foot, I don't know that it would respond to just a tendon transfer, but it might make it somewhat better. You know, that's hard to know. You may want to seek, you know, an additional opinion by another really qualified foot and ankle specialist, and you may want to get an opinion by a neurologist to see if the neurologist feels that it might be successful as well. So I don't think you should just hop into that just yet. I think you should get a second opinion that says, based on your drop foot, there's a chance it might work. And I would also get a neurology opinion to see if it would be successful.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. It's Medical Monday. Dr. Tooman with Hudson Valley Foot Associates. If you have a question, call now. There's one open line, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We talk podiatry today with Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Three or four emails here, Doc, and then we will try to clear as many calls as we can. This one is from Barbara. Subject heading, sore arch. Had custom orthotics made by Foot Doc. Made things worse. Have had x-rays. Very high arch. Help. And that's from Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, I feel for you. You have a high arch foot, and there's really, you know, obviously no 2 feet are the same, but there's 3 foot types. There's a normal arch foot, there's a flat foot with no arch, and then there's the high arch foot type. That's called a cavus foot, C-A-V-U-S. And those are actually the most challenging feet of all. So that is something that if you have a painful arch and you put something in there, you know, like an orthotic, some people will benefit. Others, it's just going to press on a sore area. So what I would recommend is that if you do have this high arch foot type with a painful arch, you probably should go see a podiatrist to see if there is a challenge with either the plantar fascia being torn or ruptured, or if there's some arthritis underlying that, or other issues that can be treated, because orthotics are wonderful. They're really wonderful for flat feet, normal plantar fasciitis, not so wonderful for the high arch feet. We do a treatment called radial pulse therapy, which cures the plantar fascia, RPT. So maybe the podiatrist has that technique or technology or other things that can be done, or a PT or physical therapy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's going to be a challenge for you if it's really painful and that's bothering you with that high arch foot, Barbara.
All right, this one's from Sheila. And Sheila writes, I keep hearing about a type of bunion surgery called bunionplasty, started by a podiatrist named Dr. Blitz. It seems that this doctor performs a type of bunion surgery that allows patients to be back on their feet within days. He also makes his incision from the side of the foot instead of from the top. Is this type of bunion surgery performed everywhere? And do you recommend such a procedure? That's from Sheila.
Hi, Sheila. So a great question. It's actually called a Lapiplasty. Mm-hmm. And there are doctors that are performing this surgery. It is something that takes, even though it sounds simpler, it takes good technical skill by your surgeon. There's instrumentation that's significant. It has taken on a small percentage of the podiatric surgeons who embrace it. Others do not. It's controversial somewhat within the profession. It has to do not so much with the result, but what is causing the bunion and what they're actually fixing. So, yes, it is out there. You're probably not going to find too many doctors that are doing the procedure because of the technicalities and performing it, the instrumentation. But if you go to somebody that's doing that procedure and they're really good at it, you'll get a good result.
Okay.
Hope that helps.
All
bunions
right.
are a very common problem, and there are many ways to skin a cat, and there are many ways to fix a bunion as well. And there's always better technology coming to make it less cumbersome and easier back on your feet. Most doctors usually use a procedure called an Austin bunionectomy. You're back on your feet usually within 1 or 2 weeks with those procedures. They're very stable. And that's another wonderful way to go as well.
All right. Two more emails here. This one's from Amy. Amy, remember at the beginning of the show, we talked about one of my daughters, who I suspect is a raving hypochondriac, talking about her toe. And this person, Amy, wrote in saying, subject heading, broken toe. I'm one of those people that broke their small toe. And, Ray, there was no swelling. I put ice on it instantly. Virtually no bruising. X-ray 5 weeks later deemed my toe was fractured in half. My question is, how common is it to re-break merely from walking on an uneven surface? Seems to be re-broken. I call it the flapper, as though I can bend it. There's virtually no resistance if you push up on it. That's really disgusting, Amy. Thank you. I have it taped to my other toe. Is there something else I should do? I like running. That's from Amy.
Yeah, Amy, so... Yeah, I'm not sure the exact dates here, but the toe hasn't healed because it's kind of floppy. So where it broke, somehow your body's not recognizing the break or the fracture there, and it's not setting the bone. When you break a bone, your body has a wonderful system where it just basically puts down new bone, like bone cement, and it takes the two edges and puts them back together as one. Yours isn't doing that. So I would recommend continuous splinting, but I would also go and see the podiatrist or someone to make sure that you can be placed in the appropriate healing position, so to speak. And then if for whatever reason it doesn't heal and you can live with it, you can live with that. It just makes a floppy toe. So
flapper. Okay.
Flapper.
Last email here, Dr. Tooman. This one is from a lady who is 82. And there's really no email except that the subject heading says yellow thick toenail. Make of that what you will.
Well, that's what we talked about, Ray, and it doesn't matter if you're 82 or 52, toenails do change, and when they're yellow and thick, there's a very good chance that they have developed what's called fungus toenails. The medical term is called onychomycosis, and if the yellow thick toenail is bothersome in any way, shape, or form, or if you're a diabetic or if you have poor circulation, you should see a podiatrist for foot care, nail care, and to make sure it's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
And there's treatments as well. Hard to cure at 82, but we can try.
Fair enough. Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Cindy in Springfield. Cindy, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
I don't have any pain in my feet, but my left foot, the fourth toe, goes numb, and it gets worse when I go for a walk. It started to be more pronounced after I had PT for scoliosis, which really helped my back pain, but now I have this more pronounced numbing problem that won't go away. And I'm wondering, is there a permanent damage that can happen from this numbing? It's not always numb, more pronounced sometimes than others. Not sure if I should go back to my PT or a podiatrist or neurologist or just what, but the Morton's neuroma kind of sounded interesting, like that's a possibility.
It is, Cindy. It's a good question. The only other issue in your case is that you've had a scoliosis and you had treatment for that, which is kind of rearranging your back a little bit. So
Right. It's
possible that can be a tweaked nerve coming from your back, or it could be the Morton's neuroma, or a combination of both. Mm. The good news is it's not painful. So numbness is basically, it's a loss of sensation, of course, but it doesn't necessarily have to get worse. So I don't know if it's anything overly significant. My guess is yours is probably from your scoliosis and the nerve in your back that may heal eventually, and it probably will go away, you know. So Okay. Hopefully that's the case. If it gets painful, then I'd be more inclined to look at that Morton's neuroma. Non-painful, Okay. Recent scoliosis, I don't know. Just I'd be more inclined to go back to your PT or neurology. It doesn't sound like a podiatry problem yet.
Okay. Cindy, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551. Mary in Cohoes. Mary, you're on.
Hi. So somebody already asked you questions about bunions. I have a very severe bunion on my right foot. About 15 years ago, I had surgery to repair my left foot, and it was a very difficult recovery. I had a cast up to my knee for 8 weeks. And I wore the ugly shoe for a while, and it was really close to a year before I could put my foot into anything, any kind of a normal shoe. I haven't had the right one done. I'm wondering if there are any advancements there that would make the recovery less.
Mary, good question. The answer is yes. Yes, there is less in the recovery. That's because things change. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and I trained 25 years ago, and 35 years ago, things were different, and everything has changed in every surgery. There are smaller incisions. There's better internal ways to fix this. So, you know, it's very rare somebody to be, in a cast for 8 weeks. Matter of fact, casts are hardly used nowadays. Usually you're in a walking boot, if anything, and sometimes maybe crutches for a couple of weeks. So, no, you shouldn't have to go through that kind of issue again. I call it grandma surgery, what you had, because that's what our grandmas had many years ago. Whenever surgery, they were in the hospital for a week, and the memories of it are not good. But, yeah, go find somebody good
who's
up to date.
These are my grandmother's feet. I've had them since I was a kid. Grandma had big bunions. I have them even as a child. So,
Yeah, you can get that fixed down to no more grandma nowadays.
All right. Mary, thanks a lot. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. And we go now to Adams, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray.
Hello.
Hey, and it's good afternoon, doctor. I wonder what type of treatment do you do or you heard of being done for a severely torn Achilles tendon?
Oh, good question. When was this? Is it recent or long ago?
Oh, this has been a few years back. I've had successfully treated my chiropractor use a laser light on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you able to have full mobility now?
Oh, God, yeah.
At the time,
my grandchildren were small enough that neither one of them could catch me in their yard, but now they're teenagers and they can do it easily now.
So to answer your question, the literature supports multiple treatments for Achilles tendon ruptures. And, of course, if you're a professional athlete, you're going to get it repaired. You know, no two ways about it. If you're you and me, everyday people, the literature says, you know, mobilizing casting therapy, laser, shockwave therapy, whatever it may be, can give you just as good a result as surgery. As long as you don't need to dunk basketballs and things like that, you should be fine. So different ways to treat it. And again, more than one way to skin this cat. And thankfully, you got a good result, Jim.
All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Now quickly over to Monticello. And Robert, you're on.
Yes, hi. I hope this is an appropriate question. I had tremendously severe sciatica in my left leg. I was down from March 8th till 2 weeks ago when I got an epidural. The epidural has slowly started to work, but I can still feel the bundle in my buttock, you know, where it starts. And going down my leg, not so bad anymore. I've been able to do a lot of activity, but to the left of my shin bone, I'd say about a third of the way up from the ankle to the ankle and the top of the foot is just very, very painful still. Did I get permanent nerve damage or something from that? And also, my top of my foot is extremely sensitive. Like my dog will go to lick it, and it's like really painful to take that.
Okay.
Robert, it obviously it's significantly severely painful to get this condition that lays you up for that amount of time. And the answer is you probably do not have permanent nail damage. Think of a bad storm and all the lights go out because the wires are down. There's always going to be a block that gets the power on last because somebody's got to be first and somebody's got to be last. All the way down there to your foot, if you're affected by the nerve, that's going to be the last to heal because it heals so slowly, millimeter a day from the back down. So eventually people say it can take 6, 12, 18 months, but you should be able to return that to normal eventually.
Okay. All right, I'm going to be starting physical therapy. I mean, they'll do whatever they have to do to maybe alleviate it in some way. But thanks. That was very reassuring. I appreciate it.
Robert, thanks.
You got it, Robert.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Quickly now to Bennington, Vermont. Ramona, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to know if there's any long-term effects after getting frostbite in both feet about 5 or 6 years ago.
Do you feel like you have some long-term damage, Ramona?
Yes, that's what I wonder, because ever since then, my feet have been achy.
Okay, it depends what you're dealing with. If you have issues with the toes, where you got frostbite or somewhere in that area, yeah, you can. And people came back from wars with frostbite, and they still have residual nerve damage and challenges. But if you have achy feet, not in the area where the frostbite was, probably not from that.
Oh, Okay, because it's not near the toes. Thank you.
Yeah, so go get it looked at, and, you know, you probably healed that, and now you're on to the next.
All right, let's go to Ruth in Northville, New York. Ruth, you're on.
Well, hi. I have two questions, but the biggest one is, lately, I'm 74 years old, been walking a bit, but I have really dry skin at the bottom of my feet that's cracking, and sometimes even cracking so much that it gets like a sore. Mm-hmm. I'm not diabetic. What can I do with this?
That's a challenge, Ruth. Those are dry skin areas that become fissures, and the fissures are like paper cuts on steroids, and they become very painful, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
So what you need to do is you really need to get a good moisturizing cream, number one. Usually something, a urea, U-R-E-A base cream, the highest percentage you can get. Typically what I tell my patients to do is put it on a couple times a day, but at nighttime, put the urea base cream on, cover it with saran wrap, and then put your sock over it and go to sleep. Or they do even make these special lubricating socks that you can get nowadays in little packages. But put it on at nighttime under occlusion with the urea-based cream or some other good cream. And sometimes if the cracks are really deep, you need to see a podiatrist so they can be healed from the inside out. But chances are if you attack the dry skin with these really good moisturizing creams, you can improve it. But they can be really painful.
I can get that at the drugstore?
You can walk into a drugstore and ask for urea cream. Most of them are, many of them are over the counter. You can get 20%, you know, 30%. Yeah. Sometimes you need a prescription for higher strength. But yeah, you can in a good pharmacy. They'll have different strengths of that.
All right.
Terrific. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Now, you made an interesting point, Dr. Tooman. You said sometimes we have to heal this from the inside out. How do you do that?
Well, you actually have to do what's called little debridement. So the cracks are deeper than they look. So usually there's a callus on top of it. So you just peel back that callus slightly with a little instrument, and you expose the base layer, and then it can heal a little bit better. And we have other medicines that help it heal from the inside as well. Good question, right?
All right. I guess, you know what, we don't really have enough time to do one more call. So how do people find Hudson Valley Foot Associates on the web?
Well, great question. HVFA, that's HudsonValleyFootAssociates.com, HVFA.com. And for listeners that didn't get the questions answered, I'm doing an online Zoom call tomorrow night, Tuesday at 7 p.m. on plantar fasciitis and heel pain.
Oh, nice.
So if anybody would like that information, they can reach out to our office, and we'll let anybody come on and get that information Tuesday at 7 on plantar fasciitis. But HVFA.com is an easy way to reach us, and we do get back to everybody, and we love to see people.
Well, Dr. Tooman, thank you for being here, sir, and stay well. We'll talk to you next time.
Same to you, Ray. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Support comes from Community Health Programs, providing primary and preventative health care to over 35,000 people throughout the Berkshires, currently offering telehealth, mobile health, and home visits to care for patients, chpberkshires.org. Once again, thanks to Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Sorry if we did not get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Charlene Knight. Our producer is Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we talk antiques with Mark Lawson. Right now, stand by for the Media Project.